This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Well, hi and welcome. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and I am the host of Vintage Homeschool Moms. And today, we are going to talk about part two of Games That Teach. And with me on the line is Tara Jenner of thebraintrainers.net, as well as braintrainersconnection.com. And I want to thank Tara for her sponsorship. And you'll want to check out both of those websites because I think you'll find some great information about each of those. Well, welcome back, Tara.
Thanks so much for having me, Felice.
Oh, glad to have you. And, you know, let's talk a little bit about the Brain Trainers Connection. I keep putting the V in front of it because I'm so used to the Brain Trainers. But first of all, the Brain Trainers, for those of you who are not familiar with her website, and that is .net, plural at the end of trainers, is something that Tara does locally. So if you are in the Southwest Florida area or within the driving distance, Tara does one-on-one consultations with parents as well as cognitive training with your children and also adults. Tara's worked with even people who have had some brain trauma. But I want to discuss the Brain Trainers Connection with no the in front of it and what parents can do long distance, because obviously our show streams worldwide. And what if you, you know, have a child that has some delays and you want to be trained yourself to be able to work with your child? And I actually went through this with Tara and learned how to work and remediate as much as I could at home, and then brought my kids to Tara for some of it as well. And let me just say, Tara has the patience of a saint, because when you're working with this kind of thing, you're working just underneath their frustration level. So it can at times be tedious, which is really nice to have a professional locally. As I mentioned in my last show, Tara is a real-life friend. Not just an internet friend, and I've known Tara for quite a few years now, and watched her and her family grow. She is a homeschool mom, married to a doctor, and lives here in Southwest Florida. So, Tara, tell us about BrainTrainersConnection.com.
Well, first off, Brain Trainers Connection was developed primarily because I found that there was a need to help more than just the people in the local area. And also, as a homeschooler, I didn't want to spend, frankly, all my time training everybody else's child and have no time left over for my children. And I found that questions that I was having come in on a regular basis were the same thing over and over and over again. And they were the exact same questions I had as a parent when my child was struggling as well. And so it seemed kind of crazy that I was having to charge people a fair bit of money for one-on-one counseling when it was the same thing I'd said 1,000 times before. It would be so much easier for me to say it once on video, and also so much more cost efficient for them not to have to pay my regularly hourly rate if I was basically recorded and saying the same thing. So it was a win-win for everybody. And so what I've done with the braintrainers.net is basically a written informational website type approach, and braintrainersconnection.com has taken it to a multi-level approach. So we have videos, we have handouts, and so forth. But the difference is, instead of just sort of shotgunning out a whole bunch of information like I have on the main website, covering sort of generic, very broad brushstroke overviews, BrainTrainersConnection.com actually does specific activities and skill sets, and I break them down in small bite-sized pieces. Each month you get a handful of videos and handouts so that you then can implement those with your student on a daily basis, and then the next month you get the next kind of level up or additional skills in different areas so that you can ultimately have developed a cognitive training program that you can implement with your students, but in a way that doesn't overwhelm you. I'd have parents call me and they'd say, I want a consultation, and I'd sit there and I'd basically do the auctioneer routine thinking, I got to get as much information out as I can to make it work for a while. And they'd go, it makes sense while you're saying it, but then afterwards it's a total blur. Where's the rewind button? And the advantage of BrainTrainersConnection.com is there is a rewind button, and you can watch it again and go, now what was that I was supposed to do? How did she say that was supposed to be done? And they're about 15 minutes maximum for each video, so that you're not sitting there having to dedicate a whole hour while, you know, Rome is burning in the background with your family. You can do your 15-minute lunch break kind of thing, and figure out what it is, and you can hit the rewind button and go back and go, oh, no, what was that again? What was that again? And bite-sized pieces, because I was overwhelming with too much information previously. And so this particular website was designed with the feedback of people that I'd worked with in the past. One, smaller bite-sized pieces. Two, break it down over a period of time so I could absorb a certain amount of data and before I have to go on to the next thing. And three, give it to me in a video format so I can see it. Give it to me with some handouts so I can actually have something to refer to on paper, and give me a rewind button. And I'm like, okay, I'm listening to you. So that's the reason why I have the website set up the way that I do currently.
Very good. Yeah, and I know.
And it is a work in progress.
Yeah, I'm one of those people, too, that, you know, likes to have it where I could go back and listen to it again. And, you know, it's funny because one of the doctors in town has a YouTube station where he puts some of the exercises he tells his patients to do on YouTube. Okay. And he had his wife demonstrate him. He's an orthopedic surgeon. And it really works well, because you're trying to tell the patient and they might be under, you know, duress because they don't feel good. And then this way, you know, homeschool mom or, you know, a mom who comes in, I mean, you work with everyone that is a little bit stressed, and so they can't follow everything that you're telling them. And, you know, let's face it, this is not a one-time, you know, fix. And what I really love about everything brain training is it's also not a Band-Aid approach. It is a repair approach and, you know, working on the neuro pathways. So, you know, we didn't really cover this in the first session, Tara. Could you take a very brief few minutes, and I know it could be an hour on its own, but just explain a little bit about cognitive training in general and what these types of games tend to do to the brain.
Okay. Well, in a nutshell, your brain has neurons, and the neurons need to be connected to each other in order to be able to be a functional pathway for activity and learning. So think in terms of your little baby. Your little baby starts different progressive steps, and basically what's happening is those neurons are not really connected to start with, and as they expose themselves and are being exposed to new information, those neurons become connected one to another. And this is great. We assume that they're going to all start connecting beautifully and perfectly. But the reality is, and I'm learning this more over time, brain training is beneficial for everybody, because we actually think in terms of a city. We don't just do urban sprawl. We have seen cities that have done urban sprawl where they just sort of grow willy-nilly here and there. And they're not as efficient and not as effective as those cities or towns where they actually planned their water resources, their roadways, where their schools and their fire departments are going to be placed. And so the brain is much the same way. We can actually make sure that the brain has good neural connections. And the way that works is, as a neuron is at the end of the pathway, think of it in terms of that, that neuron needs to fire off neurotransmitters to connect to a new set of neurons by jumping the airspace, if you want to call it that, called the synapse. And it needs to be done in a way that it makes the connection effectively and permanently and going in the right direction. And I think in terms of the old-fashioned Christmas tree lights, our kiddos who are not firing on all cylinders are like the old Christmas tree lights, where if one bulb is broken, the whole string goes out. And we need to painstakingly go neuron by neuron, literally connection by connection, to find out where the break is and then rewire the brain. And the neat thing is God made our brains in such a way that we do learn new things, because if not, we'd be stuck drooling and sucking our thumbs and lying on our back expecting someone to see us. But instead, we end up learning to crawl, and we learn to walk, and we learn to run. And in the same token, in addition to the physical functions of our body, which are more noticeable earlier on, we also learn how to speak and communicate and reason and think and remember and interact with our environment. And basically what we're doing is we're just going back to the basics, and we're making sure that we look at skills and activity sets that are functionally necessary for good academic and social interactions. And we do that by looking at the underlying skills needed for different activities. And
Wow. It's
very cool, because there are so many games and so many activities out there, which is, of course, the purpose of this particular talk, that actually work on those skills and those sets. But they do it in a way that's fun and enjoyable, and it doesn't feel like academics, and it doesn't feel painful. And bluntly, training the brain does not have to feel that way. It can be an enjoyable process.
Yeah, and it is, amazing when you discuss it, Tara. Can you guys see why I invited Tara on to do this show? Because she's just amazing, and it really is impressive when you see, the great success she has had with children, as well as parents like myself can attest to, working under Tara's tutelage. I have been so blessed to see huge improvements in my children. So, Tara, in the earlier session, we talked about games on the go and also some card games that were very effective. And you wanted to follow up with the Spot It game and talk about the memory component.
Certainly. There is, in my opinion, memory is a very useful thing to have, right? But the key is, how do you actually work on it? And just like any other kind of exercise, if you don't exercise it, if you don't practice it, it will not develop or it will atrophy. And I often jokingly say I'm terribly bad at names, because I moved a lot as a kid. So I had all these new names about every year that I had to learn. And it sort of seemed worthless to have to do it knowing I was going to move again and it would just hurt. So I didn't practice memory of names very early on in life. And then I was active duty military for 10 years, and everyone had a name tag, and we all moved around as well. So I became name tag lazy. So I jokingly say that I did not do an awful lot in the way of exercising my brain and when it came to names. So, and then not only that, but my daughter has gifted memory, so I call her my portable F drive, and if I need someone's name, I'm like, what's their name? So, I have not really exercised that particular muscle as efficiently as I should. I know how to do it, and I'm finally acquiescing in my 50s that I need to get on with it. But remembering other bits and pieces of information and details and data that goes on, it's crucial, because if you don't remember things, you miss out on a lot of enjoyable, fun things, and you have to repeat things that you didn't have to do before, but once, if you actually memorize it. And so memory is an important skill to actually work on. And there are different steps that you can take. There's two different types of memory components that you need to address: your auditory memory and your visual memory. And the reality is, it's always helpful to actually supplement one with the other and use them as a tag team. Because when you do that, you have a backup system. So one of the games that I love is the game called Spot It. And I like it because it enables me to use it as a prompt for different items that I want a student to use to remember. And so, as I described before in the last set, and I'll describe that again for anyone who's new, the Spot It game is a card game that is a circular card instead of a rectangular card. And on each of these cards, there are 8 items. And each of the cards have different things on them, so you have a wide variety of items to choose from. And what I do is I'll start with a student, and if their memory is very poor and they're having trouble recalling 2 or 3 data items, what I'll do is I'll have them look at the card and pick 3 items and create a story using those 3 items. So say, for example, they have a card that has an ice cube on it, and there's a sun on there and a tree. So they can maybe come up with a story that says the ice cube was melted by the sun that gave water and the tree grew. And then have them use that little story they've created, close their eyes, and create a visual image of not just the pictures on the card, but their connection one to the other. And that's the key in remembering data, is making a connection between one item and another item, okay?
Very good.
And those are the keys, the connections between them, so that one item prompts you to recall the next and so forth, and you're creating a string of data. And so with Spot It, start them off with maybe three items and then build them up to where they create a story with eight items. Now, none of these items really go very well with one another, so they're going to come up with some really weird, wild, and wacky stories. Great, because those are always easier to remember.
Right.
And I used to just give verbal prompts to people, and I think one of my favorite ones I had given elephant, elevator, mosquito, and that was just three at that point. And the student that I was working with said, elevator, and I said, okay, can you see the elevator? And they said, yeah, I can see the elevator. And I said, okay, elephant, what's going on? The elephant's walking into the elevator. Okay, mosquito, what's happening? The mosquito's landing on the elephant's nose. Okay, great. Now backwards, and they went mosquito, elephant, elevator, because they could see the picture and they could see the sequence of events. And it makes it easier. And this applies to whether you're telling your child how to follow certain steps for cooking, how to do certain things in a certain order to get work done around the house. And sometimes it's important that it be done in a certain sequence, so it helps them to do that. Other times, if you give your child chores, and this would be my one, I'd say, like, you know, okay, go do this, go do this, go do that, go do the other. Now, I want them to turn around and take those chores after they've visualized it, and if they visualize themselves walking back and forth to the laundry room twice, group those two things together so they only have to go there once.
Very good.
But what you need to do is you need to let them know they can do that, because oftentimes children will be very, very specific in following your instructions, and they'll try and do it in the order you tell them. And we want them to be able to regroup that data, and if they've got a really good string of events, they can actually recategorize it. And one of the ways to work that would be if you give a student a number and a noun and a color, and you give them a string of those, have them imagine closing their eyes a whiteboard or a blackboard. And every time you say a number, they're going to put it in the number column. Every time they say a noun, you're going to put it in the noun column. And every time you say a color, you put it in the color column. And then they'll actually have like a visual whiteboard in their mind. And then they can go back and they can read off in their mind all the numbers first, then all the nouns, and then all the colors. And you want to build up to five or seven of those with various combinations. And that kind of helps with memory as well, but it also helps with planning and organization. And that kind of brings us to one of my favorite games. It's a twist on your basic tic-tac-toe game. Tic-tac-toe is a wonderful strategy game. It's a visual processing game, but it also gives you some different skills that you need to focus on. And the key with tic-tac-toe is making sure first that the student understands what the goals are. The first and primary goal is to get three in a row. The second goal is if you can't get three in a row on that particular turn, you need to either block somebody else from getting a tic-tac-toe, or you need to set up a potential future tic-tac-toe of your own, or force them to make a move so that they don't end up with two possible tic-tac-toe options blocking you from being able to block them. So as long as they know what those four components are of tic-tac-toe, then you can proceed with the actual tic-tac-toe game. But a memory version of tic-tac-toe that I like is called Froggy Boogie. And Blue Orange Games is the company that puts this out, and I love them because
okay,
they
let me jump in, Tara.
Yeah.
Okay, so spell Sproggy Boogie.
Okay, Sproggy.
Mm-hmm.
Boogie.
Okay, good, because at first I thought you said soggy, so I want to clarify.
Because they're shaped like little frogs. Okay.
Okay.
I love this game because I love the company, actually. They're very good, solid wooden games, so they're very long-lasting. They have great durability. They're just beautifully made, and the thinking process that goes through a lot of their games is phenomenal. They're the ones that actually do the Spot It game as well. And Sproggy Boogie is like tic-tac-toe, and you create a tic-tac-toe grid out of wooden pieces that interlock one with the other. And the pieces that you play with actually come in three different sizes. So you can actually jump and tap a smaller piece, whether it's your piece or somebody else's piece, in lieu of just basic tic-tac-toe games. And so the neat thing is once you've covered a piece, you can actually uncover a piece for another move. But the memory component is remembering what the color of the piece is underneath. Because you may remove a cover only to give your opponent a tic-tac-toe. But you also may remove a cover piece to give yourself a tic-tac-toe. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It does. So.
It's a wonderful little game. So it's your basic tic-tac-toe game with a strategy component and a memory component combined.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love that. Another version of tic-tac-toe that I enjoy, not so much from a memory component but from a strategy component, is your Connect Four games. And those are great. And we actually have one that I like. Well, we have a basic Connect Four, which is your plastic pieces that go
right.
in. And then there's the older-fashioned version, which I like. It's called the Captain's Mistress, believe it or not. But it's a very beautiful wooden piece that's made out of wooden balls and wooden slots. And it was a game that was actually used by captains when they were on their ships in olden times in order to be able to play the same kind of game with the Connect Four component. And so, you know, there's different pieces. I happen to like wooden pieces, because I think that the tactile response to them is always good for kids, more so than your plastic components. But your tic-tac-toe, your Connect Four, or this thing that's called a Captain's Mistress, don't particularly like the name, but that's what it's called, is a phenomenal thing, and I just love the Sproggy Boogie. So those are some really great games, and they work your strategy. They work your processing. If you put a timer on to see how fast you have before you make your next move, you can pick up your processing speed as well. And then with the Sproggy Boogie, you have your memory component. So those are some games that I loved. And we were also talking about some other games earlier, Felice. One of the ones that I like for slightly older students is called Act Your Wage, W-A-G-E. And this is a game that's produced by Dave Ramsey, who's the financial peace guy. And I kind of like this game. It's a variation, if you will, of Monopoly, but it sort of follows the line of thinking that you need to not have debt. And so it's kind of a fun game because you start off with a job description that you select from your cards. You start off with a mortgage, and you start off with a certain family, lifestyle, or size, and you have start off with a certain amount of debt. And the goal is, as you go around the board, you have to pay your debt off. And the person who can scream, "I'm debt-free first," wins.
That's
so
funny.
I like it because it's kind of along the lines of Monopoly and as far as you're dealing with money handling. But it teaches a biblical principle of living within your means, paying off any obligations that you have, and it has, you know, components of saving and components of giving and tithing and so forth incorporated within it. So from that standpoint, I like it because it teaches standards and principles that I concur with, but it still deals with the money handling component that you would get in your basic Monopoly game. But instead of going in the, modern-day approach of let's see what we can possibly do about spending as much as we possibly can and buying as much as we possibly can. It goes the other way around.
Mm-hmm. So that's really good. And then you were talking about some other board games you wanted to mention, like, you know. Yeah.
Well, three of them that I really enjoy. I like Apples to Apples. There's variations of that. There's the children's version. There's the Bible version, whatever you want. I love those games because they deal with associations and analogies. But you can also flip it on its head and do, you know, the one that's the least likely to match the category. So you can get it, make it super silly as well. What's the one that is the least like the category rather than the one that's the most like the category? And being able to articulate why yours should win, I think, is an extremely good skill in being able to negotiate and articulate your position and be able to encourage others to concur with you. So I like your basic apples to apples game. As I mentioned in the last session, in any of these games that are dealing with cards, please, 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 regardless of the age of the student, make sure you spend adequate time ensuring that they really know how to handle the card deck themselves. Because if they're struggling with holding the actual cards, they're not going to enjoy the game, and their brain is not going to be able to focus on the details of the skill that they're trying to learn on the card game, because they're going to be focusing on the skill of actually handling the card deck itself.
Okay.
See, one of the other games I love Blockus. Have you ever played Blockus, Felice?
No, but I'm going to hold you right there because we are going to take a commercial break. So when we come back, I look forward to talking about it. So once again, we want to thank Tara Jenner with thebraintrainers.net for being a sponsor as well as Media Angels. So let's listen.
My name is Felice Gerwitz, and I want to introduce you to my publishing company, Media Angels. I have a heart for homeschool families, and since 1994, I have poured my efforts into creating curriculum to support teaching science, especially from a creationist worldview to the homeschool community. My curriculum was selected by Kathy Duffy in her 101 Top Homeschool Picks. Another labor of love is a three-book novel series specifically for homeschoolers with a creation focus, the Truth Seekers Mystery Series that I co-authored with my daughter Christina. Media Angels represents uncompromising quality, not only with books, but with an online homeschool convention and this ultimate homeschool radio network with amazing show hosts. Along with books, Media Angels has produced an American history and an American government video series, as well as a family Bible study, Homeschooling with Proverbs. It has been my pleasure to mentor countless homeschool families and missionaries worldwide. I also enjoy mentoring aspiring authors with one-on-one coaching and the Information in a Nutshell series. If we haven't met, please reach out. I'd love to help you on your homeschooling journey, or if you have a book, help you getting that into print. I can be found on social media and look forward to meeting you. You can reach me at mediaangels.com. Thanks so much and hope to meet you soon.
Well, hi and welcome back. My name is Felice Gerwitz of Vintage Homeschool Moms, and I'm your host. And today my special guest is Tara Jenner from thebraintrainers.net. And she's been sharing with us about games that teach. And this is part two. So if you didn't catch part one, I suggest you go to vintagehomeschoolmoms.com and catch that episode. And as always, there's tons of social media buttons on that website. And if you have liked a presentation from one of our listeners or from one of our show hosts, please share that on social media. We'd love to have you share. And so today, Tara, we've been discussing different games. And right before we went to break, you were sharing with me yet another game that could be helpful.
Sure. I love the game Blockus. I guess the online or computer version of that, probably the closest to that would be Tetris.
Okay, so it's
B-L-O-K-U-S.
Okay, Blockus, okay.
Yeah, and basically what you're dealing with is connecting various different shapes together on a game board And there are certain rules on how they have to connect as far as being able to have, whether it's the flat size or the corner piece that needs to interlock one with the other. And it's a game of strategy and visual processing, because you can block off someone else from being able to expand on the board. In the same token, you can set yourself up to be able to have more connections in different ways. Some pieces are way larger than others, and the larger pieces are obviously harder to find space for later on in the game as the board begins to fill up. And so I just love the way that it works. You can play two people or up to four on the larger blockus games. So I absolutely love that game from a strategy point of view, a visual processing point of view. For your younger students who might not, quote, win the game, you can have it as a goal that they have more pieces out, or that count up the number of squares on all of their pieces, and as long as they continue to increase the quantity they get down on the board, it's a win for them. So I like the way that you can modify the game as far as scoring is concerned in order to encourage your younger students to continue improving on the game process.
Very good.
I love the Mancala game. Have you ever played Mancala?
Yes, install that too.
Yeah, Mancala is a good game because, again, that's also a strategy game. It's being able to use your counting skills and being able to figure
out. Hold on. It's Mancala, Mancala.
Correct, Mancala.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to hear through the audio, so I just want to make sure people get it. Yeah.
So that's an excellent game to be able to play. You can actually make your own. I've seen some kids, they actually make dirt indents in the ground and they use pebbles.
Oh, that'd be cool.
You know, just on the go. I've seen people do it with seashells at the beach, so you don't actually have to buy the board game to be able to do it. You can Google the actual rules and see what the game board looks like so that you can then modify it, and you can even use egg cartons if you want to do it yourself. So it doesn't actually have to be the actual official game itself. I know a lot of us want to see what we can do about decreasing expenses, so frankly, I think the egg cartons might be a really cool way of going, and then little bits and bobs from around the house through the different pieces in order to be able to proceed from there. I guess probably the final board game that I would like to talk about, it's not actually a board game, but it is a board process, I guess, is called River Crossing, and I love this game because it is a visual processing strategy game. And then as you play it over and over again, it's a visual memory game. And basically what this game is, and I love it because it increases in its complexity as you go through, they give you a little plastic game board thing, and it has all these little holes in it. And you put a card piece over the top of it, and only certain holes are then left open. And in these holes, you put tree stumps, little plastic tree stumps, and then using the shadow that's on the paper that they had to place down, you put different size logs, little plastic logs, in between the wooden tree stumps. And the goal is to get your person from one side of the river to the other side of the river, but you can only use the logs that they've given you, and you have to pick them up and move them. And you have to be on a connecting log to where you're moving it. So you can't jump across the water because you see there's alligators and there are piranhas in the water.
Wow.
In this hypothetical water. And so you have to kind of move the pieces. And sometimes you have to do some backtracking. Sometimes you have to store your piece for future use, that kind of thing, and then go back and get it, and different kinds of different things. And so it teaches a progressively complex skill on how to utilize the limited pieces that you have access to. And so what I do is once a student has figured out, and, you know, by trial and error, how to get to the other side, I have them go back and do it again, doing it with the least number of moves possible.
Oh, that's really
that
cool.
That would be your goal. And a variation of that would be your Rush Hour game, which deals with little cars.
Right, right.
You can kind of go from there. But I like the River Crossing better because it's a little bit more, there's a little bit more of a clear visual processing component that you're going through. mm-hmm. and also the pieces are a little smaller, so it gives you some fine motor skill dexterity components that you're using at the same time. Now, having talked about these particular games, I would like to mention a handful that I know that I have on my cell phone. Now, I do have an Android, so if you have an iPhone, you might have a different variation of these names. But you can maybe Google them and find out what the comparable version is. There is a Rush Hour version on your iPhones and your Androids. One's called Rush Hour. The other one is called Traffic Jam. But they do exactly the same thing. And there is a free version of both of those.
Okay.
So, I would
what would those two games improve? Like what?
They work visual processing, they work organization and planning, and if you do it in the fewest number of moves, then you're working your visual memory skills.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I know on my Android I have a four in a row game, which is like your tic-tac-toe four in a row, so you can actually work that game as well. And then one of my all-time favorites is called U Connect, and that's just the letter U, Connect. And this is a game where you use your finger to trace the outline of a design on the screen. Sometimes they require you to go in a specific direction. And the key is you trace it, but you cannot lift your finger up. You must trace the entire pattern with a single continuous motion. And you can retry it and so forth. So, again, that helps with your organization and your planning, your visual processing skills, and if you keep trying it until you can do it in the, you know, completely, then you're working your visual memory if you've made an error on prior ones. And one of the things I love about it is it increases in complexity as you master each puzzle option.
Wow, that's really great.
Love that one. And then one final one, and there's two of them. On my phone, I have them. They're down as Piano Ear Training or Piano Pro. And what I love about these is they're one of the few that works an auditory processing skill. And what they do is they play a piano note, and then you have to indicate whether or not the next sound that's played is higher or lower in pitch to the first sound. And
okay.
Even if you're not a piano player, this actually helps students identify pitch and volume. So I love those particular components, and it's kind of a fun little game.
Great. Now let's go back to the four in a row that you said was similar to tic-tac-toe. What skills would be covered there?
Wait, you mean blockus that's similar to Tetris?
You said the four in a row. I thought you said that was one of the ones on your phone.
Four in a row. Oh yeah, that's on my phone. That's just the basic tic-tac-toe.
Okay.
Yeah, that's like Connect Four.
Okay. So what skills would you be improving by playing that?
Visual processing, organization and planning. Those are the primary ones there.
Okay.
For organization and planning. Definitely.
Okay. And then going back to it was Piano Pro and Piano Ear Training.
Correct, and I'm not sure which one does which. They both do different things. One, I think, is the high-pitch, low-pitch one, and the other one is it plays a tune, and then you hit your finger on the keyboard to try and match the same key and the same
good.
Note. Yeah.
Well, good. It's good to know because there's so many apps out there, and it's really nice to at least have someone who has tried some of them and can recommend them, you know, because you can waste your time on a lot of junk.
Yeah. There's some that I really detest.
Well, we're not going to mention those, but yeah. You'll have to contact her about a specific one. Don't ask her for her list of the ones she does not, you know.
There are not that many
time.
That I totally hate.
Okay.
But I'll be honest with you. If you can have a live version over a computer version, I would encourage it every single time, primarily because when you're dealing with a computer or computer keyboard or a smartphone, your left hand stays on the left side, your right hand stays on the right side, and you're not crossing past the midline, and you're decreasing function of your corpus callosum. So anytime you can actually move your arms across your midline, you're going to increase and strengthen the corpus callosum. And this is probably the biggest problem that I have with people not working on cursive writing, which really does work the corpus callosum, and just exclusively typing, because you don't cross over like you do. Even with printing, you do more crossing over of the corpus callosum every time you write the letter C, O, A, B, G, or Q. But typing, your left hand stays on the left and your right hand stays on the right, unless you're a lousy typist, in which case, well, maybe there is something to be said about hunting and pecking, but never mind. I didn't say that.
Well, the thing is, they usually use their right hand. Or what do you think about typing with your thumb?
Yeah, no. You see, you're still right hand on the right side, left on the left.
So
anytime you can do it live action and you're actually getting some more of those gross motor components in it, where you're crossing your right hand past the middle of your body or your left hand across the middle of your body, you're working that corpus callosum, and that's something that's always a viable thing to do, even if it just means taking a ball in your hand and passing it from your left hand to your right hand and back and forth while you're doing certain memory activities or whatever. That's going to be an enhancer.
Yeah, and that's so great. It's so simple, and that's, again, don't you guys just love Tara? Because she's just a vast pool of information, Tara, you really are. So,
my kids aren't too key. They always get to be guinea pigs. I'm like, okay, let's try something new this time, kids.
Oh,
and
gosh.
So today we're going to do a live-action Simon game, stand in the middle of the room, and, you know, and we do that. So maybe one of the things we'll do is we'll have to revisit it, and I'll explain my live-action Simon game. Or you can go on BrainTrainersConnection.com, and you can get it there.
Wonderful.
And
that's
I should mention, the pricing for BrainTrainersConnection.com is very reasonable. The first month is an introductory rate. It is less than $5. And
after that,
it's less than $15 a month. So considering what I normally charge on an hourly rate
right.
and the number of hours of information that people are getting from that, it's a win-win for everybody. It really is. The more students that have improved cognitive function, the better off we all are and the happier I am.
Wow, that is wonderful.
Happier parents are when their children are enjoying and succeeding academically and socially.
Oh, amen to that, Tara. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate it. As always, you are a delight, and you are such a great friend to have. And can you guys see how blessed I am that she lives in not very far away from me? We just need to get together more often. Sometimes I think we get together on these shows more so.
And speaking about getting together, I should mention that my dear friend Jane Davis is currently in town, here in Fort Myers, so anyone who's in the Fort Myers or traveling distance area who's interested in some specific testing, she is eminently qualified to do way more than I can on the testing side of the house.
And does Jane have a website, Tara, that you can share?
No, she's working through mine right now, and I have her information on testing on my website.
Wonderful.
And one of the most important ones that I'm just loving is a test of variable attentions known as the TOVA. And it tests both individuals who are impulsive and those who tend to zone out. And she has been using this test quite regularly with pediatricians back in Texas to help them ascertain whether or not those kids that are on medication are adequately dosed or overdosed or underdosed. And especially when they're going through cognitive training and their brains become more organized, they usually need less medication, and it gives both the physician and the parents the confidence to titrate down the medication. And in the case of kids that are going through growth spurts and puberty and so forth, recognition of when it needs to be bumped up if they're not in cognitive training. So I love it because it makes sure that if you're doing medication, if that's your choice, you can be confident that you're not getting more or less than what you need. And so that's very helpful. And if you want to go through a holistic approach, which is the way that we tend to go, it also can test to make sure whether your holistic approach is efficacious or not.
Very good. Well, Tara, thank you so much. And if you want more
You're
information,
welcome.
Tara, you can go to the Brain Trainers. Go ahead, Tara. Yes. Tara, why don't you give us your website?
TheBrainTrainers.net. And from there, you can actually reach the membership site, which is Brain Trainers Connection. www.felicegerwitz.com, or you can go there directly.
Very good. And then also we have a special needs expo that you can find on Media Angels, as well as the Ultimate Homeschool Expo, where Tara spoke extensively. So that's it for today. Thanks so much for joining us at Vintage Homeschool Moms, and hope to see you next week.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.